Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 19th of July. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get on to the news of the day. We have a lot to discuss, as we always do. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Put the microphone in front of your face.
You always do that. Thank you, Joe. Everybody laughing at me? Okay.
We always do.
I know. Joe, I just have to say I can't wait to begin the show. I mean, this is going to be fun this morning.
And here we go. All right. Yes, it is. We have a lot to discuss. And Rosemary Armeo, head of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. Mike Spain is our regular panelist and also is the associate editor. His day job.
You have another job?
Associate editor of the Times Union. Thank you very much for being here.
I can't wait to do the show, Joe. We're going to have a lot of fun here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you write that or did you plagiarize it?
Oh, did someone else say that?
Good morning. Well, what have we gotten ourselves into? So the convention last night, the Republican National Convention kicked off and had a rather raucous start where there was a fight on the floor regarding the Rules Committee and a roll call vote. And
We don't care about that. Let's get to the main act.
I was just going to. All right. So then there were many speakers last night. But of course, the main attraction was Melania Trump, the spouse of the presumed nominee, Donald Trump, who gave a speech, which I think, by all accounts, at the time was very well received. Everyone seemed to say she did the job that she was supposed to do.
The Washington Post did a list of winners and losers, and she's at the top of the winners list. That was before the big news.
Yes. So now, through some people who looked at this and said, gee, that sounds familiar, have gone back and said that there is a section, at least one section of the speech, that seems to be directly lifted from the convention speech that Michelle Obama gave for her husband, the President of the United States. When it is played back to back, it certainly seems as though it is lifted word for word. To be fair, it is only one section of a very long speech.
15 minutes.
But
it's not very long.
What?
The speech itself is not a long speech.
No, it wasn't a long speech, but it was only one section, correct?
It was 1/15th of the speech.
All right.
So, Joe, you're a professor. What happens when you get a student who lifts
the whole section in your
class?
I think we're all together on this, that they go bye-bye, right?
Reporter to the authorities, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but now the question becomes, A, is this a big deal? And B, do we... who is ultimately responsible? Is a speechwriter? She has said she has written the speech. People have said, well, you should fire the speechwriter. But then she said, well, I wrote the speech. And then you don't really know who to believe.
Well, she's a lying liar. And obviously, you know, she didn't write that speech because she could not have done that. Somebody else did. And it seems to me that Trump, if he becomes president of the United States, is going to be the man with his finger on the button. And therefore, when it's a Republican National Convention and things have got to be put in order, I remember 72 when they found Herb Kaplow of ABC found the script. Pat gets up. She turns around twice. She waves the crowd. She sits down. You know, it was unbelievable. Every single motion was done. And here, this is allowed to happen in Trump's convention. It just speaks a lot to all of us.
Well, the other thing, too, is that when you have a speech like this, does it not speak to what happened last night, let's say, does it not speak to the overall tenor of this campaign, which seems to be rather, unorthodox is one word, but
it's
also...
It's a circus.
Slap shot, right? I mean, it's not professional.
I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, it, it, it's always been scripted. I mean, that Pat Nixon was told when to turn and when to wave. That's been true at Democrat and Republican conventions.
Laura Bush as well gave a very effective speech, but it was certainly rehearsed.
Sure, and Michelle Obama.
It should be.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama.
She was preternaturally calm. I love the speech, but there's no way she gave that without assistance. Yeah. And that's all fine.
That's fine. And I'm sure Michelle Obama in 2008 practiced her speech. And so did everybody else.
But she didn't grab it from somebody else.
No. But back to Joe's point, it demonstrates a sloppiness, a thrown together, uncareful, unplanned lack of depth.
And that wasn't the only sign of it.
And that's frightening if this guy's going to run the country.
And I refer you back to my earlier, as they say in the House of Commons, my earlier remarks in which I said, you know, the guy's going to have his finger on the button.
Well,
I mean, either you're going to be organized in such a way as that, you know, this kind of thing should not happen. It can't happen, but apparently it can. Well, we've just heard, excuse me, one thing, Kathy, who said, hello, Alan, to quote Jeffrey St. Clair this morning, can you really plagiarize platitudes and cliches? I hope she's getting.
Who's Jeffrey St. Clair?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
There were other signs of how slapshot this is, too. If you remember, Scott Bao gave an interview.
Bao.
Yeah, I got Chachi. Confused with the Karate Kid, actually. But
Ralph Macchio.
Yes, I was informed of that when I posted incorrectly on Facebook. But he gave an interview after the speech, and he said, oh, yeah, Trump came up to him Thursday night and asked him to be a speaker. Thursday night? So, I mean, it's not like this is really put together carefully.
Yeah.
He decides to put a 90s TV star on his convention Thursday night before the convention.
Was it really 90s or was it 80s?
80s. 70s or 80s.
70, yeah.
Joni loves Chachi.
Chachi.
Yeah, my gosh.
Okay. And
then he has an underwear model on. And let's talk about his entrance. His entrance. He
You're
comes
all
in
over.
With smoke and drama and his profile, singing to the tune of the anthem of a gay singer.
That's right.
Freddie,
that was Freddie Mercury
I love that,
singing.
Who undoubtedly is rolling in his grave.
Yeah, that was
at
pretty
the
funny,
thought of
actually.
That. So, but, yeah, and then Melania. Okay, and come on, Dole. Let's Senator Dole, and they kind of prop him up. It was like Weekend at Bernie's. Awful, awful. I'm sorry, I did not find that respectful at all. I like him.
Go
that
back
was
to the
not
fact
good.
That all of these conventions are orchestrated. This one does seem to have been thrown together at the last minute, kind of sloppily. And is it fair to say that that translates into how a Trump presidency would be?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, that's where it matters.
Okay, and there's one more thing while I'm at it.
It's sure. also
okay,
the
first mother
day,
of the of that's the Benghazi victim. Oh my God, that was like just such raw, awful pain.
That was tragic.
I found that so exploitive to put her up there. Also, not very effective. I mean, she has no real connection between Hillary and what happened, other than her own pain. It was awful. And is it true that the Democrats are going to put up mothers or relatives of the men who were killed by police, the black men killed by police? Because that's equally horrible.
Right. You put up a mother who's lost her child in a tragedy, and you channel her pain out across the nation like that. It was terrible. I felt so badly for her. I worried that she was exploited. I mean, she was obviously reading from a script. I don't think those were really her words. But that's not unusual. I mean, people do have speech writers and things are scripted. But at the end, when she said Hillary should be in stripes and be in prison.
Stripes, right.
I think that was not in the script because reporters said, you know, they distribute copies of the scripts. I mean, it's common to follow a script. But that was really sad. The guy that got me last night of all of the speakers that I saw, including the two black men who shunned the Black Lives Matter movement, was Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York. He was just over the top. It channeled the way he was in 2004 when he just mentioned Saddam Hussein about 33 times, you know. He's just scary.
And he looked like Jim Carrey in The Mask. Yeah.
He did, actually. And also, I was surprised. I thought Joni Ernst would be very effective. She gave a kind of flat speech. Her time was not good. She followed a whole bunch of other kind of long-winded speakers. But she did not give an impressive performance either. Do you disagree?
I don't know that I disagree. I just wonder what ultimately then, how do we move on to the, you know, what comes next and does it, I'm still stuck on the fact that a lack of preparation. And as you said, you know, putting this together only on Thursday, that what are we going to see over the next couple of nights?
Of course. And today is supposed to be kind of a blank day. They have Wednesday and Thursday all scripted pretty well, and that's the big speech
right.
by Ivanka.
Well, last night was Law and Order Day.
Right, last night. This is economic
this
security
is economic,
today.
Right.
And the TV seems to think it's like the gap day. So it's not especially well-planned even out of the four. So that will be very interesting to watch.
What do you think of the new theme of the Trump campaign, Make America Safe Again? Yeah.
I think that's actually clever. Mm. I think that's a slogan that's going to play on.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it is capturing the fear that people have, and that they've co-opted that very effectively. And I think that is fear is what people do. I mean, when people are afraid that they vote for somebody who they think is going to make them safe.
Yeah,
it's a good move.
I thought that was a good move on their part. But, you know, the lack of preparation, we should hook this up to something we discussed yesterday, which was the first interview that Pence and Trump did together also showed complete lack of any kind of forethought.
Coordination.
Looking at what the questions might be, how they should answer them. There was no sign of that. And now this. So
you scuttled my talk at the beginning about.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying about the floor fight. Did you not find that interesting?
We predicted that was pretty much a foregone conclusion. Did you really think they were going to get anywhere with that?
No, I didn't think they were going to get anywhere with it, but it was very, very embarrassing.
But it wasn't prime time. I mean, it really wasn't prime time.
Well, here's the point. It was played over and over and over again. The guy standing on chairs booing.
I mean, this is the first, this is the opening of the convention. This is the beginning of the convention.
No, I think this was terrible for them. It's not that we knew it was going to happen. By the way, it wouldn't have happened in a Nixon convention. It would never have happened.
No.
It would not have happened.
Well, people are comparing it to '64, where Barry Goldwater was nominated by a very divided party.
Yeah.
The Mitt Romney people.
I know.
Just
by people, I think
way.
You mean Democrats. For Republicans,
George
who support
Romney.
Trump.
Sorry.
This plays right totally into a story. You know that he's fighting a rigged system. He's fighting the establishment.
I agree with you. I think that's okay. I mean,
I don't think
this hurts him the way it has hurt others when there's been rancor like this.
I think it hurts him very badly.
I think he capitalizes on it.
No, I don't agree with either of you. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But especially you, Rosemary. But
I like being on this show, Alan.
Yeah. But I love you, and I love Mike and Joe. But no. But the truth is, I think this is a terrible.
But who don't you like?
I think this is terrible. I think this is terrible for the Republicans. I'm about to make a prediction that people will poo-poo, but I think if it really comes down to the end, and I think that if it looks like Trump could win, you're going to find a whole bunch of Republicans who you would never expect this from endorsing Hillary Clinton. I really think it'll be a Hail Mary thing. Now, that can have an adverse effect because all he's going to say is, there's the establishment.
Yeah, that really confirms what Rosemary just said, that he owns this disruption anti-establishment movement. So seeing the rancor just confirms that. And I think that's the way they'll spin it.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just wondering why they wouldn't have done it sooner.
They have their hands full on plagiarism charges at the moment.
Well, no, and now you have
it was a beautiful speech.
Paul Ryan could have endorsed, or not endorsed Trump. I mean, it could have been, but everyone was sort of falling in line there.
They don't want to have to. If Trump is going to lose, they don't want to have to come out and be, you know, disruptive to the party. But if it means Trump might win, that might bring them out. I think that supports what Alan says. You know, you're going to see more of them stepping forward.
They really have some knowledge about Trump that scares the hell out of. I'm talking about the Republican establishment. It scares the hell out of them. I know what we see, and it scares everybody that I know. But if the Republicans are feeling this way, could there be information that we don't have?
Like, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
I think I know a lot about it.
I mean, just doesn't it seem like more just the demeanor of we can't keep you in line. We're gonna ask you, and you're gonna say to our face, we're gonna say this, 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 and this, and then you go and do whatever you want to do anyway.
Maybe.
Let's go to some of the letters. We have about 2 minutes before we go over to break.
I'm not prepared, teacher.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Don't plagiarize.
Okay, Joshua. says, many of my rural neighbors, smart but not college grads, cheer every facet of Trump and company's performance that the intelligentsia condemns. This is in part because of, quote, liberal opinions, I suspect. They may well vote, most for the first time. Alan's right. President Trump is a real possibility. And Bruce, he says, if you were a Republican who doubted Trump, what does this convention tell you? Were you hoping for an evolution in Trump's campaign and the convention would offer reassurance after a long period of gnawing doubts? I can't help but feel that Trump isn't giving these more moderate Rockefeller Republicans reason to support him as the primary season transitions into full general election mode. I can't help but feel that Trump isn't. Oh, I see. Isn't. OK, gotcha. Deb says, from what I can see, make America great, safe again is Republican code for make America white again. Interesting that one of the few black people I saw in the audience was the person who came up to prop up the old white guy, in other words, Dole. And that's from Deb. Anybody know?
That was awful, yes.
Yeah, when Dole was singled out by Melania Trump, they put the camera on him and he was sitting down and a bodyguard or some
up.
Very big man reached from underneath him and lifted him straight up and
his
had him
arm. He's very old and not in good shape. It was not well done.
And Anna says, Melania's speech, according to one of the network news programs this morning, Melania Trump's speechwriter used to be Michelle Obama's speechwriter.
Well, makes sense.
So it looks like an experienced words.
That'd be the one to fire.
Yeah, that would be the one to fire. You shouldn't reuse that stuff. It shouldn't be a cut and paste thing.
And by the way, the RNC chairman is saying this morning all over the place. The scroll is showing that he says fire the speechwriter. I don't think that's enough because now we have Melania, right, saying that she wrote the speech. And she had, quote, very little help.
Already, yeah.
So now if you're firing the speechwriter, then that gives a little pause.
How do you fire the boss's wife? We're out of
Crooked Melania.
We're out of time. We'll be right back after this break. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We have some letters, and then we'll go on to some other subjects. We've been talking about the Republican National Convention and what happened last night, what will be happening tonight. We're only in day two, and we still have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then next week. So all kinds of good stuff to talk about, but we do have a lot of letters, so we'll begin with those. Alan.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Anne writes, hi, before primaries became so important, conventions used to be interesting circuses. Alan, you must remember, that's a shot at the old guy, and I do remember, and
the
I,
old
do,
48
I
convention.
Do remember being at Camp Bucks Rock, sitting with my counselor, and the only two, sitting listening to the radio as JFK fought with Estes Kefauver for
56.
Who was going to be the vice
presidential
candidate. And it was really quite contentious.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Give me the camp.
Camp Bucks Rock?
Yeah, so that was different than Camp Bronx House.
Oh, Camp Bronx House was
So
my
give college. give me the time
well,
frame.
I was 14 years old.
And which was the first camp?
The first camp was Camp Bucks Rock, and I went there with.
I'm curious about this, Rosemary. Give me 2 minutes,
God.
And then we'll get back. Go ahead.
Well, come on, Rosemary. So, so it's Camp Bucks Rock. It was a progressive work camp. That's what it was.
A progressive work camp.
And my cousin Erica, later Erica Jung, was there at the same time, at the same age. But she was sophisticated. She was Erica Mann then.
Were you as close then as you are now?
Which is not close at all.
All right. And then Camp Bronx House.
Well, then I went to a place called Camp Sussex. It was not good. And then I went to Bronx House for about 8 years. I was a counselor and a head counselor and loved it. Up until I went into graduate school. Yeah.
All right. We have more letters. We'll get to
the thing, Rosemary.
excuse me.
Wake
what?
Up, Rosemary. Wake up.
Anthony says, good morning, panel. If this moron goes on to win the presidency, we're just as bad off as a nation as Trump says we are. He's not going to make us great again. He's just going to emphasize how messed up we are. And that's from Anthony.
May I take that for a moment?
Sure.
One thing that struck me about the convention last night was it was a very somber picture about this country.
Yeah, we're in terrible shape.
And I'm just, I wonder as to the balancing act again, this goes back to earlier conversation, not a lot of thought put into this, but the delicate balancing act, I would think, for making your case that we can make America great again, but also in not trashing the country in the process.
Yeah, no, that's a big issue. I think that's right.
I mean, I know you've gotten this too. We are always told that an upbeat, optimistic attitude is what we want in our leaders, to look forward, to admit the problems, but say overall we're great and we can move forward. I didn't get that last night.
Right. I mean, conventions are ordinarily celebratory. They are raising the flag and talking about what is great about America.
Right.
And it was kind of depressing.
Well, the problem is that Trump got this far doing what he's doing now.
Right.
And
it's
therefore
effective.
Thinks that this is the playbook. That you continue with. So Jack said, will y'all please get a guest on your program that can take an objective conservative perspective that will provide a counterpoint to your collective views, especially Rosemary's incessant, biased, liberal dross, please? And that's it. That was Rosemary. Okay.
Very professional,
okay,
Rosemary. But, nicely done.
But okay, so this afternoon I'm doing a Vox
Why
pop.
Especially me?
Wait. Well, because that's the way he sees it. I just read him. So this afternoon we're doing a Vox Pop on this very subject, okay, at 2
what
o'clock.
What very subject?
On the convention and Trump and how they're doing. And so we're reaching out to a series of Republicans, prominent Republicans, who did not go to the convention. And I am hoping that one of them will come on, although I am betting that they will not. Because if you're running, let's just take, I'm taking something right out of the stratosphere. If you're running for Chris Gibson's seat and you're John Faso, you want Democratic votes. You don't want to be seen consorting with this group, I don't think. So it's a marginal district. So you probably don't want to come in here and have to defend what the Republicans are up to. Have I said something too controversial here?
No, I think you're right on it. I think it's the effect on down ticket, as they now call it. Mm-hmm. It will perhaps be the biggest factor in this election. Can the congressional candidates and the Senate candidates, defend Donald Trump when he's head of their ticket?
Especially in New York State.
Right.
Because remember, the down ticket in New York State may not be the same thing as down ticket in Ohio, although I heard the governor of Ohio, who ran for president himself.
He's a bit petulant, don't you think?
Well, he was pretty angry this morning. And I thought, he was great.
Paul Manafort said he was petulant, but Manafort is Trump's
campaign manager.
Why do you think Kasich was petulant? Was angry this morning.
Well, I think he's with the other guys. He's with the so-called establishment. He thinks that this guy is ruining their party. And messing it all up.
I mean, he refused to go, and he was
in his own state.
Yes, in his own state.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure how any of this presents the conservative. It's a great conference point of view that our letter writer is interested in.
Oh no, it doesn't. We've just got off.
And Vox Popper anywhere.
We just got off onto other things.
I think you have to listen to CNN for that, and they portray this as a chance to hear regular Americans, people who watch sitcoms and are interested in underwear models, and like Anthony Sabatow and have been hurt by what's happened with globalization, and this glorifies them. So there you go.
More letters. Okay. Augusta. I like that name. Augusta says, if the prediction that GOP stalwarts might endorse Clinton at the last minute, she'll lose any Bernie supporters that she has, and Trump could still win. And that's from Gus. I don't agree with Gus. I think if, in fact, you have a prominent Bush, for example, endorsing, you'll lose a lot of regular staid Republican votes who will either vote Libertarian or who will stay home. And I don't think it has a thing to do with Bernie. I think, and I voted for him, remember that, folks, that Bernie is yesterday's news when it comes to this presidential campaign. I think it's over. I think that's over. But thanks for writing anyway, Gus. And then And then Wendy says, please tell me why it is okay for male politicians to get away with far more than Hillary and anyone associated with her. Her husband didn't do anything more than JFK, even when it comes to interns. She can even breathe without, she can't, oh, it says can, but it probably means can't even breathe without criticism. People call her as a horrible liar, even though she has always worked in the system. Trump lies continuously and he is forgiven. I don't know why more women aren't speaking out about this. Explain this to me. Rosemary, you all we got.
I thought that was very well stated. I agree completely.
Paul says, I don't know why everyone is critical of Melina's speech. I thought it was great. Loved the 4 score and 7 years ago part. Brilliant.
Very good letter.
Very good line.
Melania is her name.
Yes, now. Melania. Melania Trump.
I'm so sorry.
I think it was wrong in the letter.
No, it was you? Well, I'll take the blame.
Okay, that was
nice. Enough in my life. Charles says, Alan, Charlie from Pine Bush. In Melania's speech, she made many statements contrary to fact with no examples to establish validity. As a quote, as a fashion model in New York City, I experienced hard times. My father taught me to work hard for a living. It's another quote. My father is caring and fair. Our first lady is to be an immigrant fashion model trophy wife from communist
Put
Slovenia.
Billionaire in there. Put billionaire. She's a billionaire now.
Oh, yeah.
Billionaire high fashion model.
Okay.
She's done well for herself.
She has
achieved the American dream.
Rick says, panel, the International Dope Agency should be at the RNC.
We have to talk about the doping agency. That's a segue.
Yeah, it is. We're going to take a break. We have CNN on in the studio, and I'm just watching because Chris Christie is on. I found the coverage of him yesterday to be fascinating because in all of the print interviews, he seemed to be very bitter that he didn't get the job, that he was sort of passed over. And on television, he was just slap happy. I'm just so happy to be here. Why wouldn't I be? I'm a kid from New Jersey. I'm sitting in the front row of the Republican National Convention. Everything is great.
Parenthesis, I want to be Attorney General of the United States.
Thoroughly debased and humiliated.
Yeah, and it seems like thank you, Rosemary. My point is, like, wouldn't you then, like, stay home or at least be, like, it?
No, he wants the job.
He can. He is thrown in
his
lot.
I think
he's
going to be Secretary of State. Rudy Giuliani
That's Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich will be Secretary
He'll
of State.
He'll be something.
All right, we got to keep all this straight. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, providing home improvement products and advice to homeowners and contractors, supporting local communities for over a century. CurtisLumber.com. Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits. Working to save energy while maintaining design features, sunwood-builders.com. Waka Waka, offering solar-powered flashlights and phone chargers that provide light and power to people who don't have access to electricity. No batteries or outlets needed. Share the sun, waka-waka.com. And First Light, providing high-speed data, internet co-location, and voice services to businesses over its own fiber-optic network and supported by locally-based personnel. FirstLight.net.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and our conversation this morning. We're talking about the Republican National Convention day one that occurred last night, and we were just having a discussion as to what we thought some of the lowlights, highlights last night were. One of them, Antonio Sabato Jr., said he was one of the speakers who is a former Chippendales dancer and underwear model who. Was also, I believe, on General Hospital. Is that correct?
Does anyone? That's correct.
So he spoke, and
great font of knowledge about American politics.
He was coming off the stage, and ABC grabbed him, and they talked to him, and he said that he was absolutely sure that Obama was a Muslim, and so that was their coverage. Then on what we were talking during the break. And by the way, if you want to know what we talk about during the breaks, come tomorrow. We're going to do a live roundtable over at the Linda. And if you have tickets, tomorrow's the day that you can use them. We basically just have your name on a list. It's a will call event. But if you're on the list, come. If you are not on the list, you can get on the list. And all you have to do is go to WAMC.org, pledge $100, and you can get two seats to come and see the panel. But wait, there's more. It's going to be Alan and Rosemary and Mike and Rich and Barbara Smith. And your questions. We won't be taking emails tomorrow. We'll only be taking questions from the audience. And you'll get to hear what we say in the speech. And you get a lovely, Alan's been showing it to the viewers at home, but a mug from New Yorker cartoonist Peter Steiner, who did a cartoon especially for the roundtable, and it's now put on a beautiful mug, and that will be a gift as well. So
a whole bunch of animals sitting around a table,
cats and dogs,
and Joe, who's played by the cat in this, I believe,
yes,
saying we have a very special roundtable for you today. It's very funny.
Cats and dogs.
Which one am I?
Well, see, that's.
I don't want to be a dog.
I think you missed an important point. I believe something is going to be there to eat.
Yes, there will be breakfast as well. Breakfast. A lovely breakfast put on by the Woody and Colleen Catering Company, which is lovely.
But hurry, because seats are almost gone.
That's right. We have a full room, but we can put some more seats around, and we'd love to have you come if you want to.
What do you call? Who do you call?
Just go to WAMC.org. It's in the pull down menu, or you can call 1-800-323-9262 and just go to zero, and they'll take care of you there. So simple as that. We'd love to have you tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. So anyway, we were saying during the break, if you want to hear what's going on in the break, that was how I got there. But what we were saying during the break was I was watching also CNN. I was flipping back and forth. I was watching a lot of CNN coverage, as well as PBS NewsHour coverage, which is also here on NPR. Mm. But I was really surprised. Wolf Blitzer seems to be he was going on about the speech and about Melania's speech and saying that he was moved and he was moved to tears and he felt that he had never heard
by
a speech.
By Melania's speech?
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
moved
to
tears by the mother.
Oh, no.
No.
By
no,
Melania's?
No.
Yeah. There was nothing teary in that, was it?
Yeah.
I actually said later that I thought it was, before I heard about the plagiarism, that it was, she's very warm. She's obviously intelligent. I
think
like
it was
her.
A good speech. I mean, it was.
She did the job well.
She is
a really private person. She does not want to be in politics. She did this for him. I think there was a lot commendable about it, or I thought so.
Lisa thinks
I realized.
Lisa thinks she was punked.
Yeah, maybe.
She was punked.
I've
somebody
heard that.
There
was a Democratic speechwriter in there who put in the bad stuff and then alerted someone who could call her out on it.
You know, I've always
does sound like a punk.
I've always, you know, when you see a guy like Wolf Blitzer doing this, he's got to be a smart man and all the rest of it. You got to say, what are they thinking? They have to provide some balance. They have to make sure that if Trump gets to be president, they can make an argument that that they were fair and balanced, whatever.
We're also seeing the headline about that Trump is furious over the claims regarding Melania's speech, and I was just thinking about that and thought, well, if my spouse made
exactly.
a speech and people
exactly.
went all over, I would be furious too, right?
Too.
I mean, that's
Me
like
too.
A natural
sure.
reaction that somebody you would have.
He didn't kiss her nicely, though.
What do you mean you didn't kiss
her? I thought
her?
It was a very fakey kiss.
What do you mean, on the cheek?
Well, it wasn't like an Al Gore Tipper kiss.
That
was bad the other way.
That was not that kind of kiss.
Yeah, that was bad the other way.
Do you think there was a discussion about what kind of kiss there should be before they went on, in by way of preparation?
I don't know. I just
you know,
like saying,
ordinarily,
don't mess
yes,
my hair.
Alan, but this convention was kind of thrown together.
Ordinarily,
so
yes,
not.
But but it did seem a little bit, a little bit staged. I
are we being petty?
Yes.
Okay, we'll stop.
Time to move on.
And the Heartbreakers.
Time to move on.
I mean, nice.
Don't encourage that.
That was
Come
a good
on,
ref.
Joe.
Come on, that was a good reference. Yeah. I like that one. All right. Let's go on to other topics that we have today. There are a few, and we'll try to get to in the last few moments of the program. And again, we'll see how far we get tomorrow as we try to get through all of the topics with six people speaking. It should be a lot of fun.
We have to say something about Turkey, though.
Yes.
Turkey is in a terrible straits right now.
A purge in Turkey as thousands are detained in a post-coup backlash. It is the Turkish government's crackdown after a military coup attempt to widen into a sweeping purge yesterday, cutting a swath through the security services and reaching deeply into the government bureaucracy and the political and business classes, according to the New York Times.
The students of history will remember the attempt on Hitler's life that failed, and the result was just what we're seeing in Turkey now, an excuse to go after every enemy of the regime, including those in other countries like our own.
You're talking about 18,000 people have been incarcerated?
I know. We're rounding judges and prosecutors and policemen. If there had been that many people actually involved, it would have succeeded.
Well, they did say that they acknowledge that the number of people that they've arrested is probably excessive and beyond those who were actually conspiring to overthrow the government, but it's safe to do it this way. And
oh,
boy,
my gosh.
It's just frightening.
When I heard that there was a coup, I really hoped it succeeded because you knew this was going to happen. And it's immensely important to the United States. Turkey is a stabilizing influence there. It's a Muslim democracy. And it's flipping.
It's a Muslim country that was becoming a Western democracy, and this interferes with that development, which, you know, just is more disruptive to the Middle East, right?
Erdogan has been pulling that country to the right, and he does have an immense public support. It reminds me very much of Egypt under Morsi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is not good for the United States.
No. So, but what do you make of the president, Erdogan, in Turkey? What do you make of him? Is he basically an out front, Muslim extremist? Or is he, in fact, a guy who is sort of providing some balance between the non-sectarianism, right, of the army, which has always been the guardian of that tradition, and those who would push the country further into Muslim hands?
Well, I think we're seeing him change. When he came to office over a decade ago, it's amazing how long he's been there. He was definitely what you just described, a balancing act. He was a devout Muslim who believed in the non-sectarian way to govern.
Who
said he did, right.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is something different. He has gone after the press. He has been just awful to reporters there. The worst case, or one of the bad cases, being that he took away a woman's right to her children, to her son, because of what she wrote. He is not espousing democratic principles anymore, and it's becoming more and more looking
extreme.
Well,
certainly looks that way.
Yeah, but he still has immense support from the public. You cannot mount a coup without public support. He used FaceTiming on his iPhone to say, "Get out in the streets and defend me," and people did.
It's a tough one because even if you don't agree with him, the idea of a coup and a military takeover when you're in a democracy is offensive. So people may have stepped forward not agreeing with his politics, but disagreeing with that, and it's very confusing.
Right. Could I read one letter which I found vastly amusing?
Okay.
You have to think about it. This is from Sue, who writes, Don't you think? Question mark. Chris Christie - Secretary of Transportation.
He'll make the bridges work.
But could happen, right? We also want to talk about, Rosemary alluded to this earlier, Russia may face Olympics ban as doping scheme is confirmed. We haven't talked a lot about the Olympics.
Is this a snake-bitten Olympics or what? You got the Zika virus, you've got the
pollution, corruption,
the whole state is kind of dissolving.
ISIS threat,
and now the Russians might be banned. Do you think they'll actually do it is the question.
I do. I don't think they have a choice now. I think they've got themselves boxed in. You know, they've got this report, and it showed that there was a vast, to borrow a phrase from Hillary, a vast conspiracy, you know, to
government conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, this was suspected, widely suspected at the time, and I think this might have come out earlier, except that you remember the Olympics in Russia came just before he marched in Crimea and took over and invaded Ukraine.
Right.
So it's kind of a karma coming back. But if Russia is out...
Yeah, it is. I think it's it could lead to a real decline in the stature of the Olympics.
Of the Olympics,
going forward,
I agree. I don't. I have to say, in this whole sports thing, I think they should let athletes take whatever they want. You know, just why not?
Because
they'd all be competing.
2 minutes left in the show.
Because it's an uneven playing field.
It's uneven because they're cheating. What if you just said, okay, go do it. We're not testing
anybody
anymore.
Anybody
can take whatever they want, come up with the right cocktail, and you win.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe.
How about like the $6 million man? Should he be allowed to run in the Olympics? Because what the heck?
Oscar Pretoria?
Yeah,
why not?
Well...
That would be an even playing field if everybody was allowed to.
If everyone was allowed to juice up.
Right.
And they'd all die young, and it would, you know.
They do anyway. Yeah. Except for Joe Namath.
He died at, what, 84?
No, he didn't die yet.
No,
he's still
not
alive.
Dead.
Oh, gee. I'm thinking Joe DiMaggio, sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I
nice
did it
end
again.
Of, nice
I
end
did
of
it
the,
again. All
nice
right.
end of the show, Rosemary.
Rosemary supports doping. Yep.
Jesus. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll talk about all of this and much, much more tomorrow on the Roundtable panel. Again, we'd love to have you join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can go to WAMC.org, go to the pull-down menu, drop-down menu. And
take a rest tomorrow because we will be taking questions from the audience.
That's right. We'll
you
be
mean
taking
that questions. We can't talk about the second night of the,
of
the convention?
Of course. That's what we'll be talking about.
We'll be talking
okay.
about
I'm
much
planting
else,
questions. And
that's
sure
right. We'll be like
in.
The president. We'll plant questions.
That's very good. That and much more. We have more Roundtable, too.
I have friends coming. Call me tonight, friends.
Listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
I'll have your questions.